Welcome to Hour 1 of Gelsberg Live. My name is Eric Hansen. This hour, we're going to hear from a handful of local guitarists and musicians. Guys that I've watched play for years, and you probably have too, including Sean Kistler, Sam Leon, Ian Johnson, Aaron Duke, Patrick Zeffo. All guys that one way or another were influenced by the playing, the style, the impact of Eddie Van Halen. And that's what we'll celebrate this hour. Beginning with my friend Brad Schreck. Brad not only teaches guitar over at Music Makers in Galesburg,
but you still play like a madman, right? You still pick it up electric and acoustic?
Yeah, all the time. I play probably like 4 to 6 hours a day still, just like I did when I was
Do you really?
Yep.
Wow. That's putting in the time. I can't remember what year it is, Brad, and you might know, but on the laser when we gave away the double neck guitar, you won a double neck guitar from us.
You know, that was that was probably like 98 or 99.
Yeah, a couple years after we'd been on the air. How did you win it? What was the contest even? Do you remember?
I actually, to be honest, I have no idea. I just remember being at work at Burger King and getting a phone call, being told that I won. And then I remember Chris LeGros on the phone telling me all I had to do was tell him who the greatest guitar player of all time was. And he kept wanting me to say Jimi Hendrix. And I kept naming off all these other names. And he started laughing. He's like, Brad, just say Jimi Hendrix. And then so I said Jimi Hendrix. And I actually have no idea. It must have been like some kind of raffle or something.
Is so great.
I remember you said something on the radio one time about... I can't remember if it was a Steve Vai concert or something like that, but I heard you talking about that, so I called in to say that I was at the concert, and I kind of told you, you know, how it was.
That's right.
Like
that was the Madison Theater Steve Vai show. Yeah, which I got the flu for. I got my buddy tickets, and I got the flu, and I didn't get to go.
Oh, it was a really cool concert. I've never seen anyone play like that at that time.
So. Yeah, yeah. So Brad Schreck lives at your Galesburg boy, right?
Yep.
And you've already named off Steve Vai and Jimi Hendrix. Tell me where Eddie Van Halen lives in Brad's world of all time guitar players.
Oh, you know what? He's kind of. When I was a kid, he was real similar to me as far as like the way I looked at like I said, Michael Jordan or Walter Payton or Ryan Sandberg. He was just one of those guys that I just always remember that as far as guitar players go, I want to say as a kid, him and John Fogerty are like the first two guitar players that I knew by name and could kind of hear and know exactly who it was that was playing. So like when I was born in 80, so you know, at the time, like when I hit 3 or 4 years old, Van Halen was everywhere. So like, you know, they were just as big to me as like, say, like Michael Jackson was at that time or Bruce Springsteen or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So Eddie was, Brad, would you put him if someone forced you to, do a Mount Rushmore, which only can include four people? I know it's tough. Would Eddie be up there? Do you think?
Oh yeah, definitely. Not only was he's a great player, but he just also, just influence-wise, he's right up there with Les Paul and Hendrix and guys like that as far as the amount of people that he caused to pick up the instrument.
Yes.
He's definitely up there.
Yeah. Now, in your style at all, early on when you played, you say you practiced 4 to 6 hours a day. I mean, he up until way into adulthood, I mean, way into his career, was still practicing for that many hours. Was that that type of discipline because of guys like that that played as amazing as they did?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I kind of probably... You know, compared to a lot of other guitar players, I probably wasn't that talented, so I had to really work at it. And he was, just hearing players like him and, you know, all his peers and stuff playing. Yeah, I mean, I wanted to be able to do that kind of stuff. And also, too, like when he played, it just didn't sound forced. He just sounded like he was just up there having the time of his life, just having fun, and that came out playing. And I was never able to do that. You know, I don't have that kind of personality for it and stuff, so I always admire him for like, you know, tons and tons of different reasons.
That grin on his face, usually you knew he was having the time of his life. He was smiling, he'd smile at the crowd,
And it's almost like he was surprised that he was doing what he was doing, even though he exuded so much confidence.
Yeah, and also, too, one thing that stuck out with me when I first started playing guitar is how he, you know, since he was the only guitar player in the band, there was real minimal, like, overdubs on the recording. So he's switching in and out of rhythm and adding all these fills, and it just flowed as, like, one piece of music. And, you know, a lot of other guitar players and stuff, they'd have all the multi-tracking stuff going on, which, you know, is great, too. But I just always liked how he, a lot of Van Halen songs were just one continuous guitar. There wasn't, like, the added parts on as much, especially early.
Brad, I so appreciate you adding your color on how you feel about this man. How hard did that hit you last Tuesday?
Oh, as far as like celebrity stuff goes, man, that's probably the big one for me because he, you know, a great player and a, you know, just a part of a great band and everything. So we even named our third kid is actually named after Van Halen because he's named Alex Edward. So I got the double Van Halen reference in there. I didn't tell my wife that that's where I got it from until after the birth certificate was signed because I didn't want her to change it on me.
That is so great.
My oldest kid, my daughter, I tried to name her Evie, like Evie Halen, strike, and my wife kind of said, absolutely not.
Shut that down.
So then when we had the third kid, I said, oh, man, what about, you know, Alex Edwards? She's like, oh, yeah, I like that. So then, you know, after everything was finalized, then I started laughing. I was like, well, I got my Van Halen reference in. So.
Alex Edward flows so well. That is awesome. Brad Shrike is will always be the Burger King kid to me. Brad, thanks so much for spending time with us.
Yeah, thanks for coming. I appreciate it.
Hour one of Galesburg Live rolls on. More local guitar heroes talk about the influence of Eddie Van Halen, including our friend Sean Kistler, coming up next on Galesburg Live. Galesburg Live, Hour 1, remembering Eddie Van Halen and his influence on some of our local guitar heroes. It's like I'm walking down the local Guitar Hall of Fame and get to talk.
Hall of Fame, that's funny.
and now, Mr. Sean Kistler, here's what impresses me, or what kind of got my attention. I knew I was going to call you if I was going to talk about Eddie Van Halen and guitar players, because I knew even if he's not necessarily on your Mount Rushmore, he's definitely an influence. But I saw you post a ticket from a Van Halen show the other day.
Yeah.
Do you remember that show? And when was that? What year was that?
It was 84. When Jump and Panama and all the big stuff.
The big one.
And David Lee Roth's last tour, of course. But yeah, that was, and I was 16.
Yeah. Yeah. We're 50 now, so how much of that, when you saw that ticket, how much of that night comes back to you?
Just remember hearing it, not so much seeing it, because I was so far away, and it was packed, so full. I mean, but yeah, I just remember just being so influenced by him, and, you know, I honestly would have liked to have seen an earlier tour, but I'm not complaining. I was going to ask you if you'd ever seen him, or just any version of Van Halen.
I did the... Yeah, the 2003 at the Mark, and it was 2003-2004 tour with Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of them were not getting along so hot. Do you remember the first time you'd already had a guitar in your hand, the first time that you heard him?
Well, I was just getting ready to tell you, man. It's funny, you hear, it's too bad, you know, his passing, but everybody has a story of their first time hearing Van Halen or their experience with it. It's fun to hear everybody's story, you know. Funny enough, I mean, I always look at Van Halen as a three-piece band with a flashy singer.
Yeah.
And it's Eddie gets so much, what are we going to say about Eddie that hasn't already been said? But,
yep.
But I really appreciated his rhythm structures, the way he played rhythm, and just, you know, he had so many holes to play with. There was so much space because you can't ever picture somebody like Eddie Van Halen playing with other guitar players so much, you know. Another, I know Sammy would probably grab a guitar, and they did rhythm and stuff. But
sure.
That's what I really remember influencing me about Eddie. I mean, I wasn't even going to try to play as flashy and as fast as him. But, there's no doubt about it. If even Keith Urban the other day posted something. Everybody's been influenced. That his DNA is running through everybody, and not just the rock world, but all styles of guitar players. Back to that 84 show, I do remember David Lee Roth was just trashed.
Really?
He was drunk as a fish. So you can imagine how frustrating that was for Eddie Van Halen, you know, if his singer was drunk. And then, you know, you turn around and Eddie's, or Sammy's touring with Eddie, and then Eddie's drunk.
Yeah, that was my experience, Sean, that in 2003 he was still drinking. He was in a bad mood. I don't think him and Sam were getting along. And when he went out to do his solo, it went on, which seemed a little longer than usual. And somebody yelled at him, and Eddie stopped down and said, "Hey, do I come to your job and tell you what to do?" That's what Eddie said to the crowd, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Imagine what's left, the library of music that he's got behind. I mean, they're going through all the stuff that Prince left behind. I know Eddie Van Halen has a lot of music that's...
Sean, is he on your... would he be on your Mount Rushmore if he had to make one, if you were pressed?
But me personally, no. That's why I thought it was kind of funny you wanted me to talk about Van Halen, because anybody that listens to me play probably doesn't go.
I want to know if you could name those four right now, who they would be.
No, I couldn't. It's
yeah,
too hard.
It is. It's really hard.
Too hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really is. But yeah, he's certainly there. He's certainly in a... like I said, his DNA runs through every guitar player's fingers.
Is Rick Nielsen your guy?
Oh, I love Rick Nielsen. Yeah, I like sloppy players. I like sloppy guitar playing that just has feel, you know?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, some of Eddie's stuff, too, like what I liked about it was his experience with, or he would experiment with noise. He kind of took Hendrix to the next level. I mean, you listen to those, some of his guitar solos, and there are a lot of harmonics and feedback and just general craziness, you know, that he could harness somehow with his fingers.
My favorite Eddie Van Halen story, hearing Eddie Van Halen's story for the first time, is simple and quick, but it comes from a buddy that goes way back. It was 78. They were out doing a road trip. They had some herbal enhancements with them, and Eruption came on the radio, and one guy looked at the other guy and said, "I thought Hendrix was dead." that is my favorite story.
Yeah.
Because I bet the sound coming out of the radio was strange and extraterrestrial.
You know, I'm always reminded too, have you ever had a car radio where one side of the speaker doesn't work?
Yes.
And you can only get the left or the right?
Yes.
Put on those early Van Halen albums and they're so raw, and it isolates his guitar tracks. You hear him on like one side. It's so fun. Only Van Halen albums I noticed would just sound almost better if a speaker was out.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, those... We're lucky, Hanson, to have even been alive when this guy was recording and doing this stuff.
Thanks to my friend Sean Kistler for joining us here on Hour 1 of Galesburg Live. Joined now by guitarist Ian Johnson. I've been watching Ian play guitar for many years in the area.
Hey, how you doing, man?
How are you, brother?
I'm good. Things are going well.
Anytime that I was ever out and about and I saw Ian Johnson playing guitar, I always thought, why isn't this guy on the moon playing with the biggest rock band in the world? Or somebody else. You know what I mean? Because you always played so great. But would I be right in saying blues is more your wheelhouse than anything else? Or
well,
am I a little off on that?
I think you're right. I think that's where my feet stand. But you know, as time has gone on, I think I've found myself more in like a funky rock R&B kind of groove. That's kind of why I listen to a lot of jazz, a lot of funk, a lot of soul music.
Yeah.
But I mean, everything naturally kind of comes from the blues, and I think I kind of stuck around in that area for quite a while. So, but, you know, I always tell people too, you know, I mean, now I'm older, but I was 20, I was in my early 30s, and yeah, I like the blues, but you can't help but rock out a little bit. I mean, I love to crank up my guitar and freaking blast it, play heavy music sometimes, but...
Do you remember, you're definitely a tad younger than I am, but do you remember the first time that you heard Eddie Van Halen?
Well, you know, I think I remember the first time that he made a real impression on me.
Yeah.
I knew, everybody knows Van Halen, we hear the songs on the radio. I remember, wasn't Jump like the intro theme song for WGN when they played the Cubs games?
It probably was.
I think, so it was like he was always around. I saw the music videos. I knew that he did Beat It, because everyone in my family listened to Michael Jackson, or, well, everybody did. So I knew that, but for some reason I never really understood like how fabulous that guitar solo was. And it wasn't until years later when I started playing guitar that I thought, well, everybody's talking about Van Halen, I need to get into him, I need something. So I bought his first album, and that, of course, Eruption, like the minute that came on, just blew my mind. And I realized that, wow, this guy is not just a, you know, big hair jumping around the stage.
Yeah.
He's a freaking phenomenal guitar player. So from that first album for me, still, I mean, I'm not as big a Van Halen fan as a bunch of other guys.
Yeah.
I don't know every B-side.
Yeah.
But that album I know front to back, I just absorbed it, and man, I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah.
And there's a couple songs in particular. I think I'm the One and Little Dreamer. Man, those two songs, I just love those. Those are two of my favorite all-time songs.
Did you spend a lot of time on Eruption like everybody else? Like, how the hell is he doing that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I got the tablature. I sat down. I tried to learn it. And, I mean, at the time, it took me probably, you know, a week or so. And then I was going through it over and over. And in my mind, I can play it. You know, I had it down.
Yeah.
And then I pop on the record and try and play with it. And about 3 seconds in, I'm like, oh, there's no way. I can't keep up. You know, so I'd never got to the point where I knew how to play it, but I'll still bust it out and try it when no one's looking.
Yeah.
Or when no one's listening, you know.
You said he was already in the... out in the world and culturally sewn into the fabric before you picked up a guitar. Why did you pick up a guitar? Do you remember who it was, or what player? Or
yeah, you know, I think just growing up in a musical family, I think I was always looking for some kind of outlet. But, you know, to be honest, I was already listening to some blues, and I was listening to, you know, Eric Clapton, and one of my biggest inspirations was a guy named Shuggy Otis, and he did an album with Al Cooper. And I used to listen to that album over and over, pretend that I was playing guitar.
Yeah.
And then I had a poster of Eric Clapton. I used to pretend and fantasize that I was going to get up on stage and play with him. And one day my uncle, who must have, you know, seen that I had a drive for that, took me to a guitar store and bought me my first guitar. So, you know, it wasn't even like I had to save up a bunch of money, and it wasn't like I had to do this. It was like, I think he saw that that's what needed to happen.
Somebody saw the love.
Yeah, and he got me my first guitar, and then it just kind of took off. But, you know, I still tell people to this day, like, it was hard. It sucked. There were days where I was like, I don't want to play this thing. I just want to be good.
That's
all I want is to be good. And I don't know what happened. I think you trudge through, because some days it feels like that, the practice and the lessons that your teacher gives you. In my case, it was Bruce Nelson. And having a good teacher and someone who wants you to learn what you want to learn.
Ian, man, I appreciate you spending some time with us. One more, by the way, I don't feel any pressure on this. And he doesn't have to be. Would Eddie be on your Mount Rushmore? I got a feeling there'd be a few other guys before him.
Man, that's the thing. I don't know. I don't even know if I can narrow it down.
I know. There's only four slots. It's tough.
Man, he'd almost have to be by default. Because, man, the guy. See, I kind of wish. I mean, you know more than me. When he came out, I would imagine that it just turned the whole scene on its side, right? I mean, the guy had to have been doing things that nobody else was doing. I'm hard-pressed to find anyone else that really, maybe Clapton, because he really cranked up those Marshalls and, like, changed the way that you could play blues. But, yeah, to just totally redefine how we play guitar and music in general. I mean, I would think that at that time, punk and disco were the thing.
Yeah.
Probably, I'm sure there were like rock bands out there. Of course there was, but like, man, who just came on with everything cranked up to 15 and just, you know, blasted some hard rock like that? I don't know.
Thanks to my friend Ian Johnson right there. More local guitar heroes coming up to discuss Eddie Van Halen's influence, including Aaron Duke, Pat Zeffo, and my friend Sam Leon coming up next on Galesburg Live. Galesburg Live, Hour 1 continues as we hear from local guitarists and musicians of Eddie Van Halen's passing and influence on them. But when I heard about this, like four or five people popped in my head, and you were definitely one of them. I saw your post. Sam Leon on the phone with us on Galesburg Live this morning. And Sam, you might LP33, your current band, right? And then Sam and Marsha, is that correct?
That is correct, yep.
Yeah. And a slew of other bands. It would take us an hour to name all of Sam Leon's former bands. More than we have time for. Sam, first of all, let's start with this. How old were you when you picked up the guitar?
Oh, I picked up the guitar when I was probably 5-6 years old. Literally because my dad tried to play and he couldn't figure it out, so he left it laying around and I grabbed it and I don't know, I just was able to start playing it.
Sam, you and I, you might have a year or two on me, or I got a year on you. We're around the same age, so. Do you remember 1978? Do you remember when those first sounds of Eddie's guitar came out of the radio?
Actually, you know, it was a little bit later than that. I was kind of a late comer to Van Halen, but I remember it was the first day of high school in '82, getting ready to go to school, and I think it was Pretty Woman came out on Diver Down, and like it stopped me in my tracks. Like I've never heard nothing like this in my life.
Wow. But and what was it that you heard that you're like, well, I haven't heard a guitar player do that? What was he doing that blew your mind as a guitar player, as a young guitar player?
Well, you know, as most people were probably fascinated with you know, his two-handed tapping techniques that he made famous. So, I mean, that was always something that, man, I wish I could do that. I want to do that. How do I do that? And unfortunately, back then, a lot of videos he did, you know, there weren't that many. But when he did that, he always turned his back. And I read that, you know, he turned his back so, you know, people wouldn't copy him, you know, that played in the area and stuff like that. But the big change came in '84 when that album came out and the video for Jump came out. I saw that. And he actually was right up front for the solo for Jump. And, like, I immediately ran down to the basement for 4 hours trying to get the timing down for that. And then I was frustrated, and all of a sudden it just came to me, and then I never looked back after that.
That is so great. How about with, I know you've probably went back in the catalog too. Is Eruption something you tried to master over the years?
Oh, yeah. I've been playing that for a long time. Definitely. That's the standard right there. You know, that's what you learn to play first.
Where's can you explain his contribution, Sam? Do you think, I mean, he's pretty ingrained, he's pretty sewn into the fabric of what you do as a guitar player. Would you say that?
Absolutely. As far as as the foundation of my playing, definitely came from Eddie Van Halen. Of course, I've had several other, you know, influences maybe that are more in my style, like, you know, Iommi or Randy Rhoads, Yngwie, that type of thing. But if there wasn't an Eddie Van Halen, I mean, that was setting the foundation of my playing. The way that I do things, you know, in the whammy bar and the tapping stuff, you know. Also, you know, Eddie was always a tone chaser. you know, he's always looking for the ultimate tone, and he always, and there was no limit that he wouldn't try to find that tone, you know. And back in the 80s, we could only dream about that because all we had were our PV Bandits in the basement, so we didn't have the money or the room to even think that.
Right.
Not like today when you can put a software patch and boom, you sound like Eddie Van Halen, but you still got to learn how to play it. So.
Absolutely. Tell me about, there's no way you didn't see them live over the years.
Well, yeah, I was blessed to see both versions of Eddie Van Halen, you know, in the early days, I saw the tail end and then of the David Lee Roth version.
Yeah.
And then, of course, later, Sammy Hagar's version a few times.
What was that night like? Do you remember the crew you went with? And do you remember looking up at the stage when he came out?
I'm sure it was the same core of guys. We always went to concerts together, you know, me and Bo Anderson and people like that. But I remember having even more of an appreciation of Eddie Van Halen playing in style. Not necessarily always, you know, the leads are always impressive, of course, but man, that guy could write songs and rhythms, but man, just to even be able to come up with that is amazing. You know, I don't know if as much credit is done to his writing and his you know, rhythm playing versus, you know, the leads. Everybody knows he's the shredder.
Thanks to guitarist Sam Leon for spending some time. Hey, more reflection and praise coming up on Galesburg Live for the late Eddie Van Halen, Aaron Duke, and my friend Pat Zeffo next on Galesburg Live. It's Galesburg Live. Good morning. Coming up in hour two, my friends Steve Davis and Kent Kriegshauser, both photographers. They were both like 35 years ago at Farm Aid taking pictures. I don't know if they knew each other then. We'll find out more. As here in hour one, we salute Eddie Van Halen, actually local guitarists doing that. Let me ask you, first of all, Pat Zeffo, do you remember the first guitar you picked up, and why? Why did you pick up a guitar? Why did you start playing?
Well, I'd played the drums before, but I decided, you know, I think my sister had brought a guitar home from a party. Some guy left it there, you know, and it got half full of rain, and then so it was a little bit warped. But a buddy of mine came home from the Army, and he showed me some chords, basic minors and majors.
I gotta assume, Pat, that was a little before 1978. What happens now? Fast forward to 1978, and you're in your car or you're at home, and you hear that guitar come out of the speakers that no one's ever heard before. What do you do first time you hear Eddie Van Halen?
Actually, the same guy that taught me the chords played Eruption for me, and you know he came over and he's like, "Put this on your turntable." And it's funny because actually that was more towards the 80s. And the funny thing is when I was at Churchill in the morning that we'd gather before the school, and John Godsell come up with two albums. He had the first two Van Halen albums.
Wow.
And I had never heard of them before. Mm-hmm. I thought a lot of Jimmy and Zeppelin was really, I mean, kind of has always been my favorite band. But Van Halen, the way he played, it was that empty spot that I was looking for to fill, and it was like discovering a new food that you love and could never do without again. In my 20s, I mean, I started getting pretty good and getting in bands, and then it was always my peers that, like Mike Ashley and Mark Chatterton, whom were my local heroes. I would say, "Hey, I learned so and so song." And, "Yeah, but did you do it note for note?" And I was like, "Well, I'll be right back." And I'd go back and woodshed some more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was taught by those guys, get it as close as you can. So I did that. And then eventually, we were going to do, I think You Really Got Me. And I thought, you know what? It's time. You know, and I was an Iron Horse. And so I picked away at it. And, I used to do it without a whammy bar, you know, because I had a Les Paul and I exclusively played that. But I could do tricks with my fingers to make it sound like, you know, the whammy bar, and then I would just work the top key and then tune it back up. And then I also now truly understand how guitar players felt back when they were guitar players back in the day when Hendrix died, how they felt, what a loss they felt. Because, I mean, he was already dead before I knew who he was.
Sure.
And I, you know, cut my teeth on Van Halen. I learned a lot of Hendrix, too, but I knew he was dead. And this guy was living, you know, a living legend.
Guitarist Pat Zeffo, his band The Grid, by the way, do several Van Halen songs. They play at The Store, the former Rail City Saloon, later on tonight. So happy I got the opportunity to talk to all these amazing musicians during this past hour, including my final guest, who I got to talk to a couple days ago, my friend and musician, Aaron Duke.
Man, you know, I think cancer has affected so many people from so many different walks of life and, you know, all income brackets, that when you hear Eddie Van Halen and cancer, and we knew that he had the tongue cancer prior to this last bout that he had.
Yeah.
I think you just, you know, when you look at heroes, you look at people that are larger than life, you know, you just don't think of them going down like that, period.
No.
And Eddie was very private, and there wasn't, you know, Van Halen's always been kind of a very quiet band unless something is happening. But if nothing's happening, there's nothing coming out of their camp.
You're absolutely right. So, there wasn't. Besides YouTube, I didn't know he guested. He sat in with Letterman's band and when Valerie was on back in 1983. But besides that, those rare appearances, he did a lot of private stuff. You did not. You're absolutely right. You did not hear from those guys, especially Eddie.
Yeah, and I respect that, because that's, I mean, I would probably approach it the same way if I was facing that thing. But when Wolfie posted that, I saw it first on social media, and I saw Wolfie's post, because I follow Wolfie on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I just kind of was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and then it just kind of, you know, you go back to the first time, you know, the first time I was introduced to Van Halen was visually, because I was one of those kids that didn't have cable TV, didn't have MTV, so I had to stay up late on Friday night to watch Friday night videos.
Oh, wow.
And the first time I ever visually saw Van Halen was the Jump video.
Yeah.
And that's, my mind just started flooding back to the thought that my heroes, influences, people that I look up to, I'm getting older. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, it really just hit me. I'm not a kid anymore. My heart goes out to Wolfie, because he's been continuing to be active on Twitter since his dad passed, to see Wolfie trying to transition now as someone who's lost, you know, because Wolfie didn't lose just Eddie Van Halen. He lost his dad.
Yeah.
You know, we're all like, oh, man, Eddie Van Halen's gone. But this is a kid who
lost his father. Yeah.
But yeah. The grace and the way that Wolfie is, I guess, grieving and sharing things with the rest of the world is wisdom beyond his years. You know, he's been posting things. There's a great interview years ago with Eddie. And one of the questions was, if there's anybody that you could jam with, alive or dead, who would it be? And Eddie, you know, kind of scratches his chin and he says, you know, I think I'd like to jam with my father. Well, Wolfie took that clip and has posted it on his social media, and you just have to feel for the kid.
Real quick, Aaron, I'll tell you this, and maybe others felt like I felt back a while, like, how could you get rid of Michael Anthony and replace him with your son? And all of us that were mad about that, I took a step back and went, wait a second, Eddie wanted to tour with this kid. And all of us should appreciate that and not be mad that Michael Anthony's not there anymore, no matter what riff they had. He wanted, and he got to do that the last two tours, and that must have been super, super special. So I felt bad that I was even ever mad about that.
Well, but I think we all root for things, because, you know, that's one of the fun controversy conversations that many of us had, you know, back in the day when Roth, you know, left Van Halen. It was like, you know, you kind of were like, are you Roth or are you Hagar?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's almost kind of one of like those, you know, it's almost like a fraternity, you know, it's like a password thing, you know, like you can only answer one way and you better be careful how you answer,
right.
Or you may have to reap the percussions or the repercussions.
Yeah, sure.
But I do want to say this as a hack musician. If you go back and watch Wolfgang's performances with Van Halen when he was touring with his dad and his uncle Alex, I have to say this because it's really important. Wolfie did an amazing job of paying tribute to the part that Michael Anthony played. Not just playing bass,
vocally,
but also vocally.
Yeah, you're right.
And people don't understand this. If you don't understand it, this should really help you understand why Eddie wanted Wolfie in the band and why Wolfie had so much fun playing with his dad and his uncle. Wolfie's the one who actually picked the set lists for the Van Halen concerts when they came back out.
Oh, wow.
So if you're a Van Halen fan and you ever got to see, you know, Roth with Wolfie, Eddie, and Alex, please know that a 16-year-old kid, when they first started those tours, he was the one going, "Dad, can we play this one?" And what I've read, and I have some people that live out in California that I'm in touch with that are sort of in the know, and right now, unofficially, they think that there are over 100 albums worth of music sitting in the 5150 vault.
I can't remember. Of the five or six guitarists I've talked to, somebody said, think about how much, it may have been Sean Kistler, said, you know, how much music we got from Prince after he left. How much do you think Eddie left us? And I bet there's a ton.
So that's the impact of Eddie Van Halen. Eddie Van Halen has impacted everybody's life so big that he took a song that he created on synthesizer, on keyboards.
Yeah.
And people who don't even play guitar know that riff.
Yeah. You're right.
So
yeah.
That's, to me, sets him apart from so many other guitar players and musicians. Just knew it was Eddie.
Is he on, of guys you appreciate, is he on the Mount Rushmore? They carved it out right now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. I mean, I said that to somebody, actually, we were talking yesterday, and I said, you know, Jimi Hendrix blew the doors off of guitar playing for so many people because he swung for the fences.
Mm.
You know, he didn't always play in tune. He didn't always play the correct notes.
Yeah.
And he didn't care. He was searching for something.
Yep.
And if you're an artistic person, if you're a creative person, if you're a painter, a musician, if you're a writer, you know, even a radio type personality, I know that people will understand this statement. You're always looking for that elusive thing that's in your head. It's a part of your spirit. It's a part of your essence. You know it's there. And I think many of us, just like Eddie Van Halen, they chase that their whole lives.
To wrap it up, I saw your post. I think this is great that Van Halen tunes in tribute to Eddie have taken over the number one spot on iTunes, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, 6,000% is what I read, Eric. I don't know if that's, you know, officially correct or not, but that the catalog is now, you know, streaming and downloads and sales are up 6,000%, which we see a lot. We saw that with Prince and Tom Petty.
Yeah, it's so great.
I hope for anything, if you're listening, even if you're not a Van Halen fan, just go back and listen to the entire catalog. I mean, really. And just celebrate it. And just, you know, doesn't matter if it's Sammy or Dave, you know, whichever era you like. Really go back if you can with headphones on and listen to those Van Halen records, because the early stuff, you'll hear all of Eddie's guitar is, like, I think it's in the left channel. And there are naked guitar tracks available on YouTube. Just listen and be in awe of a true innovator and someone that has, in my opinion, impacted more guitar players than most other people. And truly an innovator. It just stinks that he's gone. But I'm also happy and grateful that he left behind all the stuff that he did so we can enjoy it. And you know, play it for our kids and have conversations like this. So thanks so much for having me.
Hour one of Galesburg Live in the books. Hope you're having a great Saturday morning. My friends Steve Davis and Kent Kriegshauser coming up next.